Good morning, church, and welcome. Well, this morning I'd like to just kind of dive right into the Word. We have a lot of scriptures I want to go through, and I want to open up this morning in 1 Peter chapter 2, and I want to read verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. The word peculiar means special. That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now I want from there to go to Colossians chapter 1, and I want to read verses 12 and 13. You are a chosen generation, a peculiar people. That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Colossians chapter 1 verses 12 and 13 says this, giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet to be partakers. The word meet is able. Who has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who has delivered us from the powers of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. In other words, the kingdom, in some translations it says the kingdom of his light. Now, in both of these scriptures, I want to draw our attention to the fact that we, you and I, as God's children, are delivered or called out from the powers of darkness into his marvelous light. And why am I bringing this out today or this morning? Well, it's important that we see that we are not in the darkness, nor are we under its power. He's already translated us out. He's taken us out of, from underneath the powers of darkness and translated us, placed us into the light or into the kingdom of Jesus. Now, last week, if you recall, I don't know if you were here, but if you listened to it on the internet, I made mention of the darkness that is all around us, and it's very real. And if you even just take a little bit of time and turn on any newscast or read any news headlines, and you will hear about what is happening around the world. And you will definitely recognize very quickly that there is something very major at play going on here, because it's touching the whole world. Something, in other words, when I say something major at play, it's like something beyond what we've heard before, something beyond this world. When we study scripture and then compare it and line it up with what we're hearing today, you will see that your suspicions are correct or confirmed by scripture. And according to the Bible, life is far more about what you can't see than what you can see, or hear, or touch. In fact, and I don't want to spend a lot of time sharing this, but we know and we've been taught that there is a cosmic battle going on. It's touching the world, and that's why we're seeing it. It's coming through into the natural world. But this cosmic battle between good and evil has been going on since the beginning of time, when God first created Adam and Eve, and even before then. In fact, it's been going on since Satan fell from heaven. But today, it is escalating and getting more and more intense. And as we see this battle raging, there is a battle raging. You may not see it with your physical eyes, but believe me, it's going on in the spirit realm. And because the reason things are getting so bad here is because it's breaking through onto the earth. It's breaking through. We're seeing pockets of it. And it is becoming much more visible than it ever has. Why? Because I believe we're about to see the soon return of the Lord. And so my point is why do we need to know these things as Christians? Why do we need to know what's going on the opposite side? Because We live in a world where we're told things. And the Bible says, be not deceived. In fact, we talked about it last week, where in the book of Matthew, when the disciples asked Jesus, what will be the signs of the end, the signs of your coming? The first thing he said was deception. Be not deceived. Well, if you really don't understand what's going on and that the real battle isn't taking place on the earth, but in the heavenlies right now, you are one that could be deceived. Because it's never about what they say it's about. They're giving us all kinds of information, but it's never about that. We need to look beyond what they're telling us, because they're deceiving us. And when I say they, I mean the world rulers. I'm talking about what's going on in the world today and those who are supposedly the leaders and the ones who will put laws into place and policies and so on. It's never about what it's about. One example that we can use and we can all understand and relate to this morning is the restrictions, the lockdowns, the mandatory vaccines and the mask wearing and all of that that had to do with the COVID-19 pandemic. It wasn't about health and safety, like they told us. It's never about what they say it's about. But we know what it was about. It was about gaining more control, more power. So many things come into play here. It's never about what they tell you it's about. And so unless you understand this battle, because it all goes back, why are we surprised when we see this happening? As Christians, we know that battle began when Satan was cast out of heaven. Satan, whose name is Lucifer, whom God created as one of the most beautiful, in fact, I believe the most beautiful angel that he created. And his name means morning star. Wow, morning star. And because of his beauty, his heart was lifted up in pride. He wanted to become God. He really thought he could overthrow the throne of God and become God because of his beauty. And it's funny what pride will blind you. Pride blinds you. And he actually thought that he could take the place of God. He wanted to be God. And he actually attempted to overthrow God's throne. The very God of the universe, the God who created him. But we know instead he immediately was cast down to the earth and has been trying to conquer the earth ever since. He wants to be the God of this world. And he really is the God of this world. But he wants to be the God of this world, not in the shadows, in the dark, but in reality. And that's what he's working towards. He's working towards setting this whole thing up. He's staging it so that he can enter in as the Savior. He will be the Antichrist. The word anti also means in place of. We're waiting for the Savior. He's going to come just as that. And you have to understand that this darkness, we refer to darkness and light, which I want to get into today. The darkness was over the face of the deep. Before God created the world, who do you think that darkness was? What do you think that darkness was? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and darkness was covering the face of the deep. This darkness is the enemy, Satan himself. So he's been trying to conquer the earth and take over and be the God of this world in reality, in real time, ever since. And so everything we see happening around us is just an agenda. It's all coming together so that he can step in and take over. He's not God. He's not God. So he cannot be at all places, at all times. He needs to have a system in place where he can rule and reign, where he can know every subject on the planet. He can know your thoughts. He can know everything about you. Well, how do you think he's going to do that? Well, we know we have technology today that is at that place through technology. And so everything that we see, all the craziness that's going on around us, it's all to do with what he's doing to bring this to pass. And the Bible warns us in 2 Timothy chapter 3:13 that in the last hour, the last of the last days, that deception is going to get worse and worse. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse because he's pushing on this agenda, and he will be successful. The Bible tells us that. But we also know what's going to happen. We also know that success is going to be very short-lived. And so today we see deception reaching extraordinary heights. And I know that's a sure indication that Jesus is coming very soon. When you hear some of the stuff that is circulating out there as far as what we ought to believe and how they're changing the meanings and the definitions of words, and I mean, they're trying to change laws. I mean, laws that God has made. But his main tool, and you got to understand this, his main tool, we're told, has always been, right from the very beginning, deception. Deception. Way back in the garden, that's how he duped Adam and Eve. He deceived them into thinking that if they partook of the other tree, they would be like God. He's deceiving the hearts and the minds of the people today, telling them if they believe this truth, they'll be gods themselves. They can be in control of their own world. I can choose what I want to be. It's all a lie. And whenever he speaks, the Bible tells us from last week, we went through that, he speaks a lie because there's no truth in him. Jesus said he's a liar and he is the father of all lies. Now, when Jesus said there's no truth in him, he means none. There is no truth in anything that he says. He is a liar. And just like the Father cannot lie, the Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. On the flip side, it's impossible for Satan to speak truth. Impossible. Everything he says is a lie. But in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 4, it tells us this. And this is referring to Jesus. God's word tells us, in him, Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. So it's saying, in Christ, in Jesus, is light. And that light is life. Then, let's do the flip side. In Satan is death and darkness. When you are in the light, you see clearly. When you're in the dark, you're blinded. Even in the natural, that makes sense. So when they talk about light and darkness in the Bible, they're talking about darkness, meaning you don't see truth. You're blinded. You're in the dark. And we know that it's Satan who blinds the hearts and the minds, lest they see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. So he blinds us from seeing truth. How? Through lies. So when the Bible refers to light and darkness, it is in the sense of seeing, with not with your physical eyes, but with your to perceive mentally and spiritually, to see truth. Now, you have to understand, for Satan to have complete control, complete authority in this world, where everybody will worship him and bow, he has to have complete what? Darkness. There can be no light. Because light will always expose the darkness. Always. We've said that last week. So in order for him to take over and completely dominate, there has to be complete darkness. And that's why the Bible says in the book of Thessalonians that until we be taken away, we're the light. We're restraining the darkness. You are the light. I am the light. Anybody who knows truth is light. And as long as we are in this world, we are the light of this world. And we restrain him, because light always dispels darkness. And as we see him pushing his agenda faster and faster in these days, at least when we can look around and we can understand exactly what's happening, he's changing truth. Every day he's going about to bring down truth. He has to expel truth. And we must always remember that we have the light and we are the children of light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5 says this, "You are all the children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." Jesus warns us to be watching, not to be asleep. Know the signs of the times. Know where you are. Now, I know a lot of people say, oh, you know what, that shouldn't concern us. We're just going to, you know, stay over here and just praise God and give glory to. You know what? I think that we're missing it a lot of times. You know, I heard someone say last night that when Jesus came the first time, they missed his coming. They didn't know. They didn't know the signs of the times. They were waiting for a Jesus. They were waiting for a Messiah, a Savior. They were waiting for someone to come. When you're looking for, in the midst of trouble, and you're looking for someone to come and save you, you're looking for a strong, you know, a hero who's going to come bursting in on the scenes, you know, like our Marvel superheroes. You know, someone who's going to come bursting in on the scene and is just going to, you know, make everything right again. And that's what they were looking for. And they missed Jesus because he didn't come as a lion. He came as a lamb. And they thought, well, certainly this couldn't be the guy we're waiting for. But guess what? When he comes back the second time, he's not coming as a lamb. He's coming as a lion. And he is coming for a bride that is arrayed in her battle armor. This isn't this time that we're living in. It's time to pick up the sword. It's time to go to battle. If there ever was a time. And so if we just continually look at what the darkness is doing, you got to understand, what God is doing is far greater right now in his people. If only we could see. It's funny how we can see the darkness, but we can't see what's happening in the light. What is God doing at this hour in the lives of his people? So you are not of the darkness. Let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. The word sober means be aware of what's going on around you. Be aware. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says this, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." You know, your enemy is not the people who he's duped. It's hard to see that, because when we see and come into contact with people who are under this deception, we're tempted to be angry with them. But he says here, "You do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, we know you're not fighting demons. Nobody is fighting a demon. Jesus already destroyed them at the cross. Okay? But God has allowed them to continue on. You see, they're already done. The end is already known, and they know it. But we're not fighting demons, but we're fighting darkness. We're pushing against the darkness. We are using light to push against darkness. That's the fight. Good versus evil. They are already defeated, and they know it. And from what I've just said, shows us all too plainly how we ought to fight. You fight darkness with light. And after you've done that, you stand. You stand in that light. So no matter what area of darkness right now, where you're sitting, is in your life. Because, I mean, he's into every area of your lives, trying to bring darkness. Whether it's in your health, your mental state, no matter what it is, your marriage, he's trying to bring darkness. He's trying to deceive you into thinking and believing that that's something I might just have to live with. And we settle. We settle. Is that making God happy? No. He wants a bride that is like a lion. Enough is enough. I'm going to take back my territory, what the Lord gave me at the cross, and I am going to shine my light, and the enemy will recede. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And how does he do it? With darkness. Once he's got you in the darkness, he's got you. Even if you're a child of God. Even if you're a child of God. Because if he's got you in the darkness, your light can't shine. And he can do whatever he wants. So no matter what area of darkness you find in your life, you have the light. You expose the darkness. How? By speaking light. The light in you is no match for the darkness. There's no darkness that can overcome light. None. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's how you have to see yourself, as a shining light, bringing light wherever you go, dispelling darkness wherever you go. And then hold your ground. Stand and shine, having done all, stand. And when the darkness around you seems to be getting even darker, which it does many times when you take a stand in the light, all of a sudden it seems like the darkness is getting heavier and thicker. You just keep on standing. Shout that light louder. Shout the truth even louder and even more often. And your light will always cause the darkness to flee. Call forth those blessings Jesus freely gives us. In his name, everything the Bible tells us that has a name must bow. Not maybe will bow. It has to bow. Jesus, if we could only see the glorified Jesus and the power. When we put our name in him, we are putting when we put our faith in his name, we're putting our faith in his glorified name. And someday you will see him eye to eye, and you will just be absolutely, at the glory of who he is. Right now, many of us see Jesus as an earthly man, which he was an earthly man. He humbled himself and became a man. But we don't see the lion of the tribe of Judah. We don't see him as the glorified Jesus. The enemy does. He knows the glorified Jesus. So let's call forth the blessings Jesus has freely obtained for us through his death and resurrection in his name. And at that name, the Bible says, every knee bows, every tongue confesses, and everything that even has a name. So I don't know what the name of your darkness is. Is it depression? Is it, I don't know, is it this sickness or that sickness? Is it a problem in your finances or your marriage? Call it forth in Jesus' name. Call forth what Jesus has given you, the victory in him. When you know you are a child of the light, and you are the light of the world, and you know that the darkness is moving in, you know that that light is your authority. You know, we talk about the authority of the believer, and we're looking at it like, where do I get this authority from? It's the fact that you are the light. Light always dispels darkness. That's your authority. Shine that light. If God's word says that by his stripe you are healed, then stand your ground. Stand your ground. Because that's truth. That is truth. It's your truth. It's the truth that will never pass away. And the enemy's coming along and he's trying to get you. What does he want? He wants the truth. Like Mark chapter 4 says, the word, the sower sows the word. And the enemy immediately comes along and tries to take that word. Why? Because it's the light. It's the truth. And he knows that if it stays there long enough, you're going to experience it. And then he's done. But too many of us give up. And that's what the Lord laid on my heart today to encourage us is don't you give up. You are the light, and light always, always expels darkness. So if God's word tells you that by his stripes you are healed, then bless God, that's the light, and you stand in it. And don't you back down, no matter what. This is the good fight of faith, and we are told to fight it. It's a good fight. Why? Because we always win. Light always dispels darkness. And too many of us are still living under the Old Testament mentality. We're still sitting around waiting for God to move. Well, I'm here to tell you today, he's already moved. We must see this thing differently than Old Testament saints. They believed God would deliver them. They all believed that, many of them, and that God would heal them. But we must live by a different mentality. We must live by the fact that he already has moved. He already has delivered us and healed us. It's in the past. It was all at the cross. So we're not waiting for God to come and heal us. We're not waiting for God to come and deliver us or prosper us. He's done all of that already at the cross. And the enemy comes along and he deceives us into thinking we just don't have what it takes. We just don't have what it takes to take all of that. That's a lie from the pits of hell as well. You do have what it takes. All you need is the light. What is the light? The word of the living God. Jesus said, I am the light. And now that word lives in you. It's all you need. Because you see, all he's using is deception and lies. What you need to do is to speak truth. Anybody can speak truth. And we need to get away from the fact that it is not hooked to our emotions. I don't feel healed today, so I'm not going to speak it. It has nothing to do with how you feel. And the enemy comes along and uses, because we're such emotional creatures, and uses our emotions to keep us from speaking the word of God. I mean, if we went by emotions in the natural and you were sick and you had a headache, maybe I don't feel like swallowing that pill right now, that Advil that's going to take away my pain. I just don't feel like it's going to work today. No, you don't go by your feelings. You know the bottle says if you take 2 every 4 hours, it'll get rid of the pain. So you take the pills. You don't even think about swallowing the pills, and it has nothing to do with your emotions. And neither has faith. Faith is simply believing God's word and saying, you know what, I don't care how I feel today. I'm going to speak it anyways. And continue to stand in truth. God is coming back for a glorious bride. I believe in these last hours, the church is going to become a light like never before. We're waiting for the finest hour. Just like in the world, the darkness, we've never seen darkness like this. Well, guess what? In the church, you're never going to see light like we are going to see. And you know, I was reading this week about a book that I had read. Actually, it's a series of 4. Her name was Lillian Yeoman. And fascinating. I took it when I took my my Bible course. And I'd read her books. And she was a medical doctor. And she was the best of the best. In fact, I do believe she was from Canada, if I remember correctly. And because back in that day, this was years ago, they didn't have that many brains. I believe she was a brain surgeon. And she was in such high demand all over. She was going all over and performing surgeries, brain surgery. And she needed to be steady. She needed to be alert and awake. When you're dealing with going into the brain, it was a very, you had to be on your best game. And she started taking drugs in order to get her through. How many people that are in demand, you know, whether it be musicians or whatever, they put themselves on drugs to give them that extra high, you know, so that they can get through it at the top of their game. And she started taking, I believe it was morphine. Well, she got hooked on it. And I don't know how many years later, like I say, it's been years that I read the book, it got so bad that, of course, she was dying, and she knew it. I mean, she's a medical doctor. She was not a Christian. But one night, it got so bad, she knew her practice was gone. I mean, everything was washed up, and she was a drug addict. And she fell on the floor, and she said, God, she said, if you don't deliver me, because I know I cannot stop. She says, I'm dying, and I know I will die unless you deliver me. And she cried out to God. She didn't ever know God or have anything to do. And, you know, long story short, the Lord answered her and delivered her instantly. She was instantly delivered. And she went on. She stopped her practice. She was no longer a medical doctor, and she became a healing. She still healed people, but it was through the Word of God. And I remember her words. She actually built an institution, and because she was a medical doctor, she took people in that the doctors had given no hope. They were terminal, and she would put them in her hospital, and she, of course, would treat them with the medication they needed along the way, whether it was painkillers or whatever, but she would give them the truth, the Word of God. She would give that to them and sit with them for hours until they received it. And I believe in her practice, I don't know of one that left there sick. And so I was thinking about this week, the power in the Word of God, if we just don't give up on it. And there was some, she said, it was hard. They'd never heard the Word of God before. So you would tell them, and they would like, nah, you know, and it would just, but she said, you just kept feeding them that word. And all of a sudden, the lights would go on, and they would receive their healing. What an amazing story. But she knew and had a revelation of the power and in the light of God's Word. That's all you need. It's all you need is God's Word. So let's not live under an Old Testament mentality where we're waiting for God to do something. We need to stand up and come back at that lie with the Word of God. Where the enemy comes along and says, you're just washed up, and you know, you're never going to get to that place where you're going to receive healing. You've had this thing for 25, 30, 40, 50 years maybe. It's just my cross to bear. A lot of people will just kind of, they use the excuse like that. But you know, that doesn't impress God. That demeans the power of God's Word and of what Jesus did for us. God, you know, like in the Old Testament, think about this for a minute. God didn't just speak his word like he did. You know, when he gave promise to Abraham that in your seed, all of the nations of the earth will be blessed. He didn't just give Abraham the promise that someday you're going to have a child of your own, even though your wife is barren, has never been able to have children, and now she's 100 years old. I mean, what the heck, eh? What a promise. He didn't just verbally, and yet they believed. They believed that God was faithful. If he said it, he's going to do it. He's going to bring it to pass. What's the difference between that and where we are today? God doesn't just speak his word of promise to us, like come along to you and say, Megan, I will heal you. God doesn't speak just his word of promise. He already did it. He carried it out. The promises were written in the Old Covenant, but in the New, he carried it out. It's done. Everything he promised is finished. It's yes and amen in Christ. So we have such a better covenant. We can stand boldly and proclaim, by his stripe, I am healed. I'm not waiting for God to heal me. You see the difference? We need to take it by faith. In the old covenant, it was a little different. Jesus hadn't died yet. God's word was still just as powerful, and he always kept his word. But now we have the demonstration of the word of God. We see it with our very eyes. He did it. He kept all of his promises in Jesus. Now it's up to us to go and claim them. Claim those promises. And we know that we're only up against the darkness. We have the light. And so don't be surprised when you step out and start claiming what belongs to you. If the enemy doesn't get, we got to get over there, that Megan, she's claiming this and she's claiming that. We got to make it look like it ain't happening. We got to get her off of the word. Get her out of the light. So it's, we ought to sit back and laugh already at because we know exactly what's coming the minute we step out in faith. The situation's going to look darker. Many times over the years, people speak things to us. In your life, you might have had a father or mother or whatever, somebody, friend, promised you something. I'm going to help with that, or I'm going to give you this, or I'm going to be there for you, whatever. It never happened. They never fulfilled their word, right? We've seen that. Or in the end, they just don't come through. Well, like I said, God came through at the cross. God didn't just say, I'm going to come and heal you. God did heal you. God didn't just say, I'm going to come and prosper you. God did prosper you. He gave you all things. He came and he fulfilled every promise he ever made. The only one that is yet to be fulfilled, and this will be a glorious day, and that is the redemption of our bodies. It's the only thing that has to be fulfilled of his promise to us, his children. And in that day, wow, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with the Lord in the air, where we will ever be with the Lord. And at that moment, you will get your new body, your brand new redeemed body that will never grow old, that will never, ever, ever be tired or bored. We don't understand, because we're living, the Bible tells us our body is dead. We're living in a dead body. Can you imagine what it's going to feel like to have an alive body? And we sometimes think in our bodies, whoa, I feel good. I feel like I got life. No, you don't. It's the only life you have in you is the Spirit of God. Someday we are going to have a body that is alive forever. And we have no idea what that's going to feel like. None. Because all we know is this dead body. And we've become so accustomed to living in this dead body, we can't even imagine what it's going to be like to be living in a body that is not dead. Wow. That's exciting. And that's the only promise that has not yet been fulfilled. But we know it will be. I'm hoping very soon. At the return of Jesus. Hebrews 10:35 and 36. We're going to close with the next few scriptures. So cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God. So what does it mean, after you have done the will of God? A lot of people read that and get a little bit confused because they don't know what their part is. After you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. So let me ask you, what does that mean? After you have done the will of God. Well, that simply means after you have spoken, after you have made come forth and claimed what belongs to you, after you have stepped out in faith, you have need of patience that you might receive the promise. What does the word patience mean? Well, when the Bible tells us that we ought to stand, and having done all, stand, that means hang on to that word. Don't you let the devil come along and throw you off of the light. You stay strong and you let that light shine. And if he comes at you one way, you shine that light right back at him, and he has to flee. That's patience. That means be ready to take a stand, because for sure your adversary, the enemy, is going to come along and throw you off or try to throw you off of the light of your end game. So after you have believed, after you have done the will of God, after you have believed and called it forth by faith, you take a stand. So cast not away your confidence. Hebrews, how do we know that that's talking about faith? Well, Hebrews 11, chapter 1 says this. Now, faith is the substance. Now, if you look up that word substance, it means confidence. Faith is the confidence. So cast not away your faith, which hath great recompense of reward. In Galatians 6, 9, it says, don't be weary in well-doing. What does that mean? And to be doing well is to walk by faith. So many times we look at these scriptures and we're talking about, we interpret it as meaning, well, don't be weary in feeding the hungry, clothing the poor. Don't be weary. You know, we think of that as, we think of well-doing as good works. Well, I mean, good works is part of, I guess, but what this scripture is talking about is do not be weary in walking by faith. That's well-doing before God. Without it, it's impossible to please God. Of course it's well-doing. It's what God has called us to do. The just shall live by faith. And if any man draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. In other words, once you've stepped out in faith, you take that stand and don't you pull back. Don't you get weary in well-doing. Well-doing means to stand in your faith. Let that light shine and don't ever back off. Don't be weary, for you will reap if you faint not. In other words, if you don't back off, you will reap. The enemy has to leave. And I believe in these last days, and I've heard others say it, God is accelerating that time. You know, look at Abraham and Sarah. They stood in faith for 20, 25 years before they saw the promise. I don't believe it's going to take us 25 years. God is accelerating the time, but he's looking for a church who's going to take her stand, who's going to take her place and begin to stand and shoot forth or call forth light, which is God's word. You might not think it's important, but it is. And you might think, well, you know, I should be out there and shining my light and preaching the gospel. Yes, but you know what? Your life is the gospel. Your life should be the living gospel, the light that comes from your life, first and foremost. And then if the Holy Spirit leads you out into the world, into the nations, then by all means you go. But where do you start? You know, you might be a mom at home raising kids. Where do I start? Just be a light in your home. Stand in the light. Claim all of the things Jesus died to give you, his word. And that light will spill over into the lives of others. They will see that light and they will run to you because of that light. So don't be weary in well-doing. You will reap if you faint not. The enemy is trying to make you weary. He's trying to wear you out. And say, oh, the heck with it. I'm just going to give up on my faith. I'm going to give up on this thing. I just will settle and live with it. But there is a remedy. Isaiah chapter 28, verses 11, 12. It tells us in 11 and 12, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. What is he talking about? Stammering tongue, praying in the spirit. This is the rest. So when you're weary and standing there, just let the Holy Spirit, he comes along. He aids us up in our weaknesses. He prays, or he comes together. He takes a hold together with you and makes you strong. And as you pray in the Spirit, when you're tempted to quit, when you're getting tired and weary, you just pray in the Spirit. And what does Jude 20 say? Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Remember, we're talking about cast not your confidence, which is faith, away. Be strong in your faith. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Spirit makes you strong. I don't know how it works. It's all supernatural. I just know the Word of God says that this is the way it works. Do not be weary in well-doing. Enter into that rest. When you pray in the Spirit, you're actually entering into the rest. You're taking your cares and everything and you're putting it on Him. And you're saying, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to pray about this thing. I don't know how to stay strong anymore. I'll be honest, I know nothing. I just know that the Word of God says it's mine, but I don't know how to get from here to here where I can actually see it, enjoy it, embrace it, and have it as a reality in my life. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. You don't know how to do it. You don't know how to pray as you ought. You don't know what to do as you ought. But the Holy Spirit, He knows. And you have your eyes fixed and focused on the end result. By His stripe, I am healed. I don't care what you're going through. I don't know how to get from terminal to completely restored. I don't know. But He does. And that's my rest. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to fret over it. All I know is at the end, I'm healed. And that's what God is asking us to do. Trust the Holy Spirit. Let Him come together with you and take you through the whole thing and you just rest, knowing that the end game or the end is I am healed. Why? Because that is the light. That is what I'm hanging on to. And it dispels all darkness. And so if there was a word today to God's people, we know that the enemy is working overtime to bring in his plan, his agenda for these end days. But God is also working. Remember that. And that's where we need to focus. What are you doing, Lord? We can definitely see what the enemy is doing, but what are you doing? Let me be a part of it. Let me walk by faith. Because God doesn't change. I change not, saith the Lord. His ways are always faith. God is a faith God. You're created in His image and His likeness. We are called to live by faith. And no matter what it is in this life that you accomplish, it'll all pass away if it's not done by faith. That's true. The only thing that will be forever is the thing you, and you're going to be shocked someday. I know we all are. When we get to heaven and all of our works is put on the altar and it's tried by fire, you know, only what we did by faith is going to be left on that altar. And you're going to be shocked at what those things are going to be. Because us in our thinking, we think it was like, oh, gee, you know, I could think, oh, by faith, this, look what I did. Look what, you know, the church, whatever. We think of all kinds of things that we think we accomplished through faith. And it's going to be the small little things. That is the only thing that is going to be left on that altar, is what you did by faith. And what you did by faith means you did nothing. You rested in what Jesus did. And it's for our resting that we're going to get rewarded. Not for our working. Learn to rest and to stand in that rest. Like to take your stand, but remain in the rest. You can't do anything, but trust the Word of God. Trust the light that's in you to dispel the darkness. That's what's going to be left. So even in the midst of all of this that's going on around us, this evil agenda that's being brought to pass in this life, God has also got an agenda. And that's where we need to be focused. That's where we need to get on board and be the light. Arise, shine, arise, for the light has come, and let the glory of the Lord be arisen upon your life. It is not time to sit back now and just kind of watch everything unfold. It's time for us to get in the game. It's time for us to be sober, watching, alert, and be aware of His tactics, and be also aware of how does God deal with it. That's why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. How does the kingdom of God work? The kingdom of God is as a man sowing seed. It's all about God's ways. That's God's ways. God spoke and it was. He's created you in His image and His likeness. We're the only thing that's created in God's image. That's why the enemy hates us. Because we actually are children of God. So of course we have His attributes. And we operate like God operates. Call things forth in the name of Jesus. And stand your ground. Don't let the devil say, no, you can't have that. No, yeah, we can. Know who you are. Come, we need to rise up and be like those lions you know, all of this proves, like I say, the fact that you have the light proves that we have the authority. Use that authority. Amen. We're going to close this morning with Holy Communion.
for?
It's okay. I'll take one that's not so full.
You got both?